2. They hadn't come out in a train station, but rather in some sort of colossal roofed switching yard. The silvery lines Jake had seen were crisscrossing rail lines, perhaps as many as 70 different sets of tracks. On a couple of them, stubby automated engines went back and forth on errands that had to be centuries outdated. One was pushing a flat car filled with rusty I-beams. The other began to cry in an automated voice, "Will a Kamka A please go to Portway 9? Kamka A to Portway 9, if you please." Pogo sticking up and down on Eddie's hip began to make Susanna feel sick to her stomach all over again, but she'd caught the white-haired man's urgency like a cold. Also, she now knew what the Tahin were, monstrous creatures with the bodies of human beings and the heads of either birds or beasts. They reminded her of the things in that Bosch painting, The Garden of Earthly Delights.
"I may have to puke again, Sugar Bunch," she said. "Don't you dare slow down if I do."
Eddie made a grunting sound she took for an affirmative. She could see sweat pouring down his pale skin and felt sorry for him. He was as sick as she was, so now she knew what it was like to go through a scientific teleportation device that was clearly no longer working very well. She wondered if she would ever be able to bring herself to go through another one. Jake looked up and saw a roof made of a million panes of different shapes and sizes. It was like looking at a tile mosaic painted a uniform dark gray. Then a bird flew through one of them, and he realized those weren't tiles up there, but panels of glass, some of them broken. That dark gray was apparently just how the outside world looked in Thunderclap. Like a constant eclipse, he thought, and shivered. Beside him, Oi made another series of those hoarse hacking sounds, and then trotted on, shaking his head.